Good morning, welcome to Tuesday, ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. We have a special show today, don't we, Andy?
We do, because I'm here.
Well, you're here.
It's Andy's birthday.
Happy birthday, Andy. Maybe you'll get a present today.
Oh, maybe I will, from a secret Santa.
You might.
Of some
kind. Maybe you'll get some Ghiblies? Some sort of cheap.
May I not get any cheap gin?
Perhaps that's what's in your. Anyway, we have a very, very special show. We have two celebrities on the show today. Barbara Corcoran and Kevin O'Leary, a.k.a. Mr. Wonderful, both stars of the show Shark Tank, are going to be on the show in a little bit. And, of course, they're keynoting at ASI Orlando on January 7th. Who's excited? Joe, are you excited?
Woo-hoo! Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Joe just went, woo-hoo. I can't even repeat it.
That's her line, woo-hoo.
All right, Michelle Bell, who's your favorite star of Shark Tank?
Sure.
Who's your favorite star?
Who's the mouthy guy who has the team?
Mark Cuban.
Some team.
Some big team. Yeah. He's very outspoken and mouthy on the show.
And a sandwich.
It's a great show. It's on Friday nights. Anyway, we're going to hear from them in a little bit. But what else is on tap for today's show, Joe?
Well, we also have Kathy in the studio with us.
Yeah.
She didn't intro you.
Oh. Well, I wasn't paying attention anyway.
All right. Well, Kathy has five career killers. We're going to look at why you don't need.
She's on her way.
Why we don't need a huge holiday budget to throw off a great motivating event for your employees. We have our favorite things, but let's start it off with the industry news in 50 seconds.
Right to it. All right. Thanks, Joe. We begin this morning with supplier acquisition news. S&S Activewear has closed a deal to acquire fellow apparel supplier Eva Tees. New Jersey-based Eva Tees, which has been renamed Eva Activewear, will give S&S an enhanced East Coast presence. As part of the deal, Eva has relocated to a larger facility in New Jersey. More supplier news now. Flashlight maker Maglite has officially entered the ad specialty market. It will operate in this industry as Maglite Promo Direct, which will be headed up by industry veterans Mark Puglisi and Scott Kennis. On to product safety news now. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand says she is ready to introduce legislation that would ban most phthalates in all children's products. While most of the chemicals are already banned in toys and games, Gillibrand wants to go a step further to restrict them from being manufactured into any items that could end up in a child's hands. See Promogram today for full details. General economic news now. Hiring is poised to reach levels not seen in the U.S. since 2008, a new Manpower Employment Outlook survey shows that first quarter hiring plans for U.S. companies are the highest they've been within the past 6 years. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
I think we're going to have what is going to be the biggest product for 2014.
Ooh.
That's quite
what
a bold statement.
Well, I don't Can you give us a sneak peek?
No, you'll have to see it in Promogram.
You'll have to see it on the Joe Show later on today. No, I think it's power banks. I think they're going to be the big thing.
All right, you heard it first here on ASI Radio. And another first for ASI Radio, we have two celebrities with us today. Barbara Corcoran and Kevin O'Leary, stars of the show Shark Tank, are with us, and they are going to be keynoting at ASI Orlando on January 7th. We're going to have a special Shark Tank-like show at the show, so that's going to be really exciting. So welcome, Barbara and Kevin.
Thank you very much.
We are so excited to have you, and I have to tell you that I watch Shark Tank every Friday night, and my 11-year-old daughter Hulus all of the old episodes, so we're big fans here.
I bet she can't stand that Kevin. I bet she looks at that guy and has nightmares.
Well, we all have our favorites. All right. Well,
someone said they had their favorite as Mark Cuban. How do you like hearing that, Kevin?
You're Mark Cuban, although she referred
to Barbara. Listen, there's a lot of people talk about Barbara and I a lot, but I want you to know when she flies in on her broom every morning to set, I'm the first to bring her a coffee.
Well, you notice Michelle, who said she liked Cuban,
also
referred to him as. Yeah, she
I like Cuban best too, man. I sit next to him. I love it.
Aww. But she refers to him as that, you know, that guy who owns some sports team. That's how she referred to him.
That little guy.
The little guy. All right, guys. Well, thanks for being on the show today. First, you know, we have a lot of entrepreneurs among our industry and our group. So I want to ask you all what the single most important consideration is for turning a crazy idea into a profitable enterprise.
Well, let Barbara
go
do that.
First, Kevin?
She does that a lot.
I'm sure you hear lots of crazy ideas out there, but some of them are actually great ideas.
Yeah. Well, I have to say something right away because Kevin's going to say the opposite. That's how well we know each other. I don't think it's about turning it into a profitable idea. The last thing that happens is the profit. It comes much later. I think what you have to focus on first off, if you want to get to the profit, is focus on the sales, because as they say, sales cures all. And if you can get the sales going, you get a shot at the profit. If you start nickel and diming and trying to make a profit from the get-go, which Kevin tries to do and never succeeds in doing, you won't ever get to the finish line. Forget about it. It's a wrong focus.
So you know, I love Barbara when she talks about that way, because at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is money and are you making any. So what I like is I like control. I want to understand the business model. I love royalty deals where I skim right off the top. I reduce my risk. And I loan money to businesses so I have a seniority on their balance sheet. If they mess up, I fire them and I hire better managers. That's my strategy.
Yeah, there's only one little problem with that strategy, Kevin, is that along the way you crush the entrepreneur, you crush the spirit, you get them hyper-focused on just the dollars in your pocket versus
yes,
theirs,
and
you wind up with a lousy
partner. Barbara, cry me a river.
Yeah.
Cry me a river.
He crushes their spirit but has money in his pocket. That's his,
right.
His M.O., I guess.
You know, the way I like to say it is that I'm reality and Barbara is the fairy tale. It's wonderful.
Oh, maybe so, but I'm making a lot of dreams come true, sad to say, and compare our
yeah,
report card, my friend.
All right.
It's like point, counterpoint. All right, so you guys, what's the biggest mistake you see entrepreneurs make when they're launching their product or service?
Well, I'll let
they
Kevin
don't know their numbers,
here.
And they run out of cash mm-hmm. because they don't know their numbers. The only thing that matters is cash. It's the lifeblood of business. When you run out of it, and you're not disciplined about controlling it, you go to zero. That happens about two-thirds of the time. I see it all the time. The ones I like...
You know what I think happens
I
even before that? Yeah. You know what
go
else
ahead,
happens?
Bob.
Every entrepreneur has some kind of a wacky idea, goes out and asks their family and friends, what do you think? And then they act as though that's a customer. Oh, it's wonderful. Great, how clever you are. And then they go out and waste a year of their life or 3 years of their life and other people's money because they really didn't ask anybody who opens their wallet and actually pays for the damn product. And then the other thing that I think happens, and we see it on Shark Tank all the time, and the best tip-off is when the entrepreneur is standing there and not listening, it's they've fallen in love with the product. And you know what they say? Love is blind, and that's exactly what goes on. They fall so much in love with their idea, they can't see what's wrong with it and what they've got to improve on, and they march down that narrow aisle dedicated to their love of their product, and they're out of business within 2 years.
Mm-hmm. You know, and Barbara's right on this, because the execution aspect of the business, the execution aspect is everything. Take a commodity. We all have our examples, but I've got a great one, Wicked Good Cupcakes in Boston. They make a commodity cupcake. Everybody can make a cupcake. Anybody can. But they've used the platform of Shark Tank to advertise their brand. Their sales have gone from 15,000 to 250,000 a month. I just spoke to them this morning. I beat them with a stick to make sure they got all the orders out before the end of the holiday season. And we're both making a ton of money. They haven't missed one order. This is so wonderful. I love cupcakes.
As we all do.
When they make you money.
Okay.
So I remember Kevin was the first guy to jump in and say, I love coffins, trying to buy into a coffin business.
Oh,
let me tell you. If it's got a buck attached, he's into it.
Okay, there seems to be some tension on the show sometimes between the sharks. Now, this is a TMZ moment here. Are there any sharks you don't see eye to eye with in real life? If so, who is it and why?
Yeah, I mean, do you guys all secretly love each other?
No, that's not
well,
the case.
Well, you know,
like
it is
Kevin.
A competition. It is a competition. We all want to get the better deals and the better entrepreneurs. We all are writing a checkbook there and writing our own money into these things. We don't want to lose it. There is a little competitive nature. There's certain genres
there's
of businesses.
A lot.
Well, I think about it. You know, Barbara likes to do food deals, and Damon does clothing deals. I love royalty and financial services. I just funded some guys that are loan sharks. I love them. They're fantastic. And we're going to make a ton of money together, and that's what I care about. I am all about the entrepreneurial spirit, but I'm a realist.
You are not any, Kevin, I'm sorry. Ask any entrepreneur that's ever stood before you. Not one would agree that you are all about the entrepreneurial spirit unless you're talking about crushing it. The only thing that you serve is the God of cash, I'm telling you. And he often,
he does talk
sadly,
about money a lot.
And
a lot,
you're
but you know what
right,
he misses
in
talking
the end,
about
my
money?
My entrepreneurs make money. It's all about, listen,
no,
I'm not trying to make friends on Shark Tank. Buy
no,
a dog
you make
if you
money
want
on your entrepreneurs. They're not making any money, no.
They're making a ton of money,
cash.
Barbara. They love me. We're very much in love because we love money. That's what matters. That's what the show's about.
God. I'll give you that one.
All right, let me step in between you guys for just a minute here. Over the course of your careers, have you seen the American entrepreneurial dream change at all? Do you think that entrepreneurs that come before you are any more or less creative than they once were, more or less driven than they once were? How do you think entrepreneurs of today relate to yesterday?
I have a strong opinion on that.
Entrepreneurs that have been watching Shark Tank have become much more sophisticated in understanding what they have to bring to the table to be successful in raising money. They're much better with their numbers. They're much better at explaining their business plans. They're much better at explaining why they can execute the plan. They've seen others fail rather drastically in the years previous. So the level and quality of who we're seeing, in addition to that, and this is not well known, but it's a fact, for years, the network took a tide of anywhere from 2.5% to 5% equity in the firms just to get on TV. That has been removed. So now we have all kinds of tech firms coming, asking for first round, second round. So that's why you're seeing these multi-million dollar deals getting done. We recently did one called Breathometer for $1 million, and that company would have never come on last year if there'd been a 5% tide on its equity. Now we actually funded it, and that's going to be a huge hit as well, I think.
I would have to agree with Kevin. I just want to add one very negative note, though, on the entrepreneurs. Yes, they're smarter. Yes, they can talk better. But to my eye, I think we're seeing many more entrepreneurs who are totally left-brain driven, analytical types. They've learned about business in school, graduate school. We're seeing many, many people on the show with MBAs, and they have studied what it is to start a business. And let me tell you, none of them are suited for it. They're not natural entrepreneurs with common sense. So they analyze, they have a phenomenal Harvard MBA type business plan, they can talk the lingo, the numbers, but when you start asking them basic questions that just take good common sense and gut reaction, they don't have what it takes. And let me tell you, very few of them are going to succeed. I think we're breeding a group of entrepreneurs that are educated about entrepreneurship. And in the end, the people that typically start businesses and make fortunes are immigrants, poorly educated, not such a high IQ, but know how to hustle. And so I think there's two different breeds, and the latter is certainly happening more and more. And I don't think their chances of success are nearly the same as somebody who's hungry, struggling, has to make the buck, and will kill to make the money.
This reminds me of that deal when two MBA ladies came on and pitched gift boxes, and Barbara eviscerated them. I went to visit the last
love this
one.
Type of person.
Yeah, I visited the last one in hospital just before she passed away.
But they didn't make any sense, Kevin. You must admit that. They made no sense. They talked in lingo.
And do these people sometimes lack the passion that you were talking about earlier, Barbara?
I have to say, I rarely see an entrepreneur. In fact, we never see an entrepreneur on Shark Tank who doesn't have passion. But you know what? It's meaningless. You know what it's like? It's like a guy who's hot to trot over the sexy girl. Yeah, passion's easy. But you want to know what the hard part is when you're hitting all the bumps, getting over the bumps, everybody's telling you they don't want your stuff, go to hell and everything else, and you keep coming back. That's called marriage, you know, that kind of thing we all do, that we work our butts off to make sure we wind up with a 20-year marriage. I'm telling you, passion's easy, it's meaningless. It's the long-term commitment and getting over the bumps that really counts in business.
Well, I have a question for you guys. This is Michelle, the Mark Cuban fan. At the most basic level, what makes you want to invest in a product?
If you think it's solving a problem that you haven't seen solved that way or ever before, because that's what's interesting. When you think about what great businesses are, they're solving a problem for somebody who's willing to spend money to have that problem solved. So, you know, I'll give you an example. When I saw, and I don't generally like tech deals because they're so risky, but when the Breathometer came on, and I know from Massachusetts we're going to zero tolerance for young drivers, same in Florida and in Texas and in California, how do you know when you're sitting in a bar partying with your buddies that you're going to blow under or over when you get stopped by the police? It's a very big problem. And this little device for $49, $39.95 on sale, solves it for you. I think we're going to sell a ton of them just on that prospect. That, to me, is an interesting investment.
Mm-hmm. But I have to also, for me, I think I actually don't look at the product until I've really examined the entrepreneur. For me, I've got to trust them intuitively right from the get-go. Do I trust what this guy is saying? I'm almost like zoned out, thinking not so much what he's saying, but trying to get in tune. Do I trust this guy? You don't want to be in bed with somebody that you don't trust. And the trust comes about judgment, because you get a chance on Shark Tank, which is great, to see how people think. And if they don't have good thinking capacity to land in the right place, they're never going to make the right judgments. And thanks to creeps on the show like Kevin, who beats the crap out of people, you can actually see, which I'm thankful on this one note, I'm thankful to him forevermore, you can see how people can take a hit. And let me tell you, the ones who can't take a hit and keep coming back are not the ones you want to put your money in. So with me,
this is why it's better to get control. Simply get 51%. If the entrepreneur doesn't deliver on their promises, you fire them and you hire somebody else.
They give up before they even have to deliver. Forget it. They've given up their
baby. If they don't make their numbers in the first or second quarter, they get whacked, just like in real corporate America. There's never been a time, ever.
God. Thank God I saved all my entrepreneurs from you. Thank God they're in my camp.
Barbara, I want to fire you, and you don't even work for me yet.
I like how you said yet.
Oh, God. I'd kill myself. You wouldn't have to fire me.
So we've talked a lot about what makes you guys want to invest and want to work with an entrepreneur. On the other side, on the flip side, what's the biggest turnoff when you're presented with an investment opportunity?
Me, it's fancy talk, plain and simple. Somebody starts talking fancy, I know I'm going to lose my money. Period.
I can't stand a multi-million dollar valuations for an idea. That just pisses me off.
You're right. I would agree. They price it based on potential versus what they have in hand. Yeah.
What's the worst pitch that you guys, do you recall a worst pitch you've ever gotten on the show?
Well, there's a whole bunch to choose from. I could think of five at once. But the weirdest one, the one that haunted me for probably a year afterwards, was, what was that name of that business, Kevin? The guy who put the blue tube surgically into the ear canal.
Ooh.
Yeah, season one, that was very strange. And he was a weird dude, too.
He was weird. He was wired so tight, you would swear he had walked into the set with a bomb on his back.
I was worried that jacket looked a little thick, and I was thinking, uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I remember when this guy finished his pitch, because he didn't blink, his mouth hardly moved when he talked, and he's saying, surgically put this in your ear. And then I think, Kevin, you asked, what happens if you have a problem with the battery? He says, well, you surgically remove it and put a new battery in. That took us over the top. And I remember I was sitting on that set, and I really had to, it went on and on, this wacky pitch, and I really had to go to the restroom, which is in a trailer outside the set. I'm telling you, I decided I'm not going to the restroom. I thought he'd be outside and kill us when we rejected him. Weren't you afraid of him? He was spooky.
It was a very strange moment. You know, I'm thinking about the guy, Barbara, that came in with a water bottle that had the bottom that could screw off so you could put it in a dishwasher. And he had patented it, so it had two tops, right? And he comes out and says, this thing's worth $2.2 million. And everybody looked at each other and said, are you out of your mind? Like, it's a plastic water bottle. And he said, if you had had an opportunity to invest in Facebook, would you have done it? And here he is holding up a plastic. Like, he had drawn the equivalency between Facebook and a plastic water bottle. That's when I realized.
Then Mark, with all those billions of dollars, he bought it anyway, remember? He said, oh, I got plenty of cash. I'll buy it. What the hell?
That was insane.
I'm sure that
deal's gone to zero by now. That's so ridiculous.
Oh. It never got off the ground, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you guys get to get entertained with a lot of various characters. Now, Barbara, we've read your book about how you got started.
I don't believe you. I'm going to test you on that.
No, I know. You had like 12 brothers and sisters and lived in a little house.
Actually, only nine.
Jersey. Okay,
nine's enough. Yeah.
Anyway, you tell a lot about how, you know, you got your start when a boyfriend loaned you $1,000. So what happened to that boyfriend? We all want to know. And if you were starting your career today, how would you go about finding someone to loan you the money you need?
Well, the second part's easy. The bad part was what happened with the boyfriend. He ran off and married my secretary.
Oh.
They got married within the year. They have now three daughters. They're still happily married. And from the sounds of things of mutual friends, I think they're a lot happier than me and my husband. But what he did with Tina, his girlfriend, who is now his wife, is they went off and started a competitive firm. And we had a really rough market at that juncture in time in New York City. And he went out of business. So that's the sad ending on that one.
I love Barbara's book, too. I love Chapter 6, The Years in Prison. That is fantastic.
I think I missed that. I missed that chapter.
You're mixing me up with somebody else. Not a chance. All right, so what happened? What was your other thing you said? Oh, how would I get money today?
Yes.
One of two ways. The easiest way today is through crowdfunding. I mean, that's the big kahuna right now. If you got a great pitch, if you have something reasonable, and it doesn't even have to be great, it's got to be reasonable, you can get dollars on crowdfunding if you're smart about the way you market yourself and your idea. And that's open to everybody. If I wasn't going to go on crowdfunding and I wanted to do it the old-fashioned way, you know what I'd do? I would try to figure out what my real talent was. I'd try to get to know that space better than anybody else in the world, whatever it is that I'm excited about. And then I would go find some rich guy who has no time and a lot of money and get him to invest in me. Because you know what? Rich people lack time. And you know what? Poor people have time. But they very often don't know. The big commodity is knowledge. And a very good example of this is I have four different partners in different boroughs within Manhattan that I have invested in real estate over the last 25 years. And the only reason I'm in the South Bronx, I'm in Brooklyn, I'm everywhere, even in Staten Island, which I don't like. But the reason I own properties there is because I found guys who knew their neighborhoods inside and out that I didn't know and didn't have the time to know. I put in the money, they put in the time, and we have been happy partners ever since. There's always a need for talent, and the rich guy needs it, and he doesn't have the time to spend on it.
That's a great formula. Well, you know, you're going to, in January at our keynote, you're going to see some of our suppliers who are going to go in front of the Shark Tank with their ideas. Any advice you have for entrepreneurs there who are going to pitch you some great products?
Yeah, hope that Kevin calls in sick.
Kevin, what tips do you have for our suppliers who are going to come in front of the Shark Tank?
I think they better know their numbers. They better know their numbers. And that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you come and when you do it. The ability to present your vision, your product, your service is ubiquitous. You have to be able to do it everywhere, and you have to be able to communicate. If you really look at the string of success on Shark Tank, the people who have actually been funded, they have three attributes. It's always the same. They're able to articulate their opportunity in about 90 seconds. They explain it very simply. It's clear what the opportunity is. Secondly, they can explain how they're going to execute and build the business and that they're the right team or person to do it. And lastly, and this is always the case, they know their numbers. They can explain their gross margin. They can explain their break-even. They can tell you the size of the market. They know those things because they're steeped in their business. And when all three of those attributes come together, those are the ones that get funded. It won't be any different in Florida. They better understand all three of those things. It's the same everywhere around the world. That's what a great entrepreneur is, someone who understands the product and the opportunity and can explain it to an investor.
Well, I have to say, I have to say yes on one and two, Kevin, definitely. But three, on knowing the numbers, the reality is you learn the numbers by doing. You can maybe have a good spiel, but the fact is you're going to change your numbers 100 times once you get out there and hit the road. And so
that's why I prefer businesses that actually have some sales, because then they know what the numbers are.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to a lot more of that debate when the two of you come to see us in ASI Orlando January 7th. Thank you so much to Barbara Corcoran and Kevin O'Leary for being on the show today, and we will see you in a few weeks.
Kevin, I'm happy to hang out with you, dear.
I want you to know something, Barbara, right now, and for the listeners, I'm going to spank you like a baby seal when I get home.
Okay.
And then guess what? I was all set to send you your Christmas gift. Forget about it. I'm not even sending it. And you would have really liked it, and Linda would have liked it, too. Too bad on
Barbara,
you.
Barbara, I'm going to send you a couple of cupcakes you're going to love. They're going straight to the hips.
Okay. Oh, I don't know if we're going to place you guys across the room from each other or in a love seat next to each other.
I think Michelle's got a new favorite shark.
All right. Thank you so much, and we will see you in a few weeks. Have a great day.
Very well. Thanks.
All right. Well, that was Barbara Corcoran and Kevin O'Leary. Of course, they're keynoting at ASI Orlando on January 7th. Obviously, it's going to be a very lively session. We have four, I don't know if I should say lucky or unlucky contestants or suppliers.
I think they better bring their A game.
They have new product ideas. They're going to come in front of the two of them, and they're going to, the lucky winner, whoever they decide has the best idea, is going to actually get $5,000 to get a start.
That's
on their
cool
product. But they will have to be vetted by these two first, which could be a little...
are fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love them.
How funny are they? Yeah.
Hopefully, if nothing else, these suppliers are watching the Shark Tank on Friday nights, you know, to get an idea of, you know, what sales and what doesn't.
Well, yeah. And also, you know, they better bring their numbers. That's what I got.
That's what Kevin wants.
Or their spirit will get crushed.
I think that's the line of 2013. I'm going to spank you.
I'm
going to
spank you
like
a baby
seal.
I love that line. I'll be using that later.
Oh, yeah, not on me.
On your birthday.
No,
all right, we're going to pause for a quick break for a message from today's show sponsor. When we return, our editors are going to talk about their favorite products of the week.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized, individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where a new phrase has been on the show. We've never had anyone tell someone else on the show they're going to spank them like a baby seal, and yet it just happened. Kevin O'Leary threatened to do that to Barbara Corcoran right on our show.
Those two are fantastic, and they have such a good rapport. Like in a obviously humorous way,
hilarious.
But they really, really can go at each other. It's really funny.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't signed up for the show yet, go to asishow.com. Be sure to sign up and come see us in Orlando, where you can see the two of them as well. We have just enough time in the show for Michelle Bell's favorite segment, when we are going to talk about our favorite products of the week. Michelle, why don't you start us off?
Mine is from, wait for it, everybody
Leeds?
Guess, Leeds.
Oh gosh.
Shocked.
Wait, so it's a guitar-shaped pick stylus that you can use. You can attach it to your smartphone like a BlackBerry or your tablet to clean
your
it
smartphone off. Like a BlackBerry.
BlackBerry is not a smartphone.
Wait, and does BlackBerry still exist?
Shut up. I heart you, BlackBerry. It's from Leeds.
Oh, my God.
66887.
Joe, what do you got?
He's got a puddle of snow.
What is that?
Not a puddle. It's a snowscape. So you That's get this cute. In the mail. You fold up the backdrop, whatever you want there. It has a little crystal packet in there, and you add some water to it, and it actually puffs up.
And you can shovel it. Look.
It comes with a little
Suddenly
shovel.
Suddenly I'm thinking of Hunter S. Thompson. Anybody
so
else?
I got this, and I showed this 3 weeks ago on the Joe Show, and the
snowing.
Snow just needs a little more. I wouldn't
it's snowing.
Put
okay.
it on my hands
All
like
right.
that. But it needs a little more water. It's great, obviously, for a holiday greeting. But it's also good for ski resorts, also good for travel agents who want to, you know, send people on ski vacations. You can get this from American Greenwood. You can find them online at www.americangreenwood.com.
That's cute.
Oh, my God.
Andy
Cohn. All right. Mine is a unique item for golf tournaments, which I know people are always looking for. It's a money band clip that also features a custom logo golf ball marker. Check it out online now at asicentral.com/radio. It comes from Bandit Elastic Money Clip, which is ASI 37688.
Kathy, bring up the rear.
Yes, mine is the Kylie Key Cuff from Brandwear, ASI 41545. Kylie Key Cuff. It's made from bamboo jersey, and it's moisture wicking and antimicrobial. And it's a wristband, and it holds your keys, cards, and cash right on your wrist. So it would be great for fitness clubs and spa memberships, all that kind of stuff.
All right.
Yep.
Well, we are out of time. Thanks to today's show sponsor, AIA. And thanks to our special guest, Barbara Corcoran and Kevin O'Leary. Again, go to asishow.com to sign up for ASI Orlando and see their keynote on January 7th. Have a great week, everyone. And we'll be back to you next week on Christmas Eve.